So the Rambam here is giving us a history of thousands of years of halachic history. And he's gone, taken us all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he, Rambam lived close to 1,000 years ago, but he was looking back at over 2,000 years of the history of halacha. And over the course of that time, there's been, a lot has happened. A lot of key moments, you know. Rabbi Akiva was a key figure. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who shepherds the Jewish people through the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, Tanam, Amoraim, Nevi'im, so many different eras, and yet the most critical turning point, the most dramatic, the biggest change, the biggest transition over the course of thousands of years of Jewish history, of intellectual history of Torah. The Rambam points out happened only 40 years in. And that's what he's going to turn our attention to right now. He had been talking about how Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching Klal Yisrael day by day, week by week, month by month, over the course of their 40 years in the Midbar, mitzvah by mitzvah. Right? Topics keep coming in. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu is transmitting Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, the psukim, and the key explanation, and the Chazara, and he's teaching, and Aaron's teaching, and then the Rambam says, "Vayhi b'sofar ba'am shana," at the end of 40 years, Barosh Chodesh Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, 2488, the 40th year. This is only a month and a week before Moshe Rabbeinu passes away on Zayin Adar. This is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Where is there a pasuk? Where does the pasuk mention that date, Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Where in Chumash? A little bit of Bekias, yeah. A good Chidon question. Yonatan. Exactly. That is the byline. The very beginning of Dvarim opens with Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this is, he dies in Adar, a week into Adar. So this is a month and a week before. All of Chumash Dvarim happens during this time. So now he's taken us to Chumash Dvarim. They're ready in Arvas Moav. They're on the eastern bank of the Yarden, looking over. They're in Eivar Yarden, looking over into Eretz Yisrael proper. Hikilam Al Vashalom. Moshe Al Vashalom gathers the Jewish people together and says, Hinei Karv Yizvan Mosi. I'm not going to live much longer. Now is your last chance. Now is the final Q&A. This is the final Q&A. Very, very deliberate. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Jewish people. If you forgot something, you have a question you're not sure about, come, ask. Open Q&A. Press conference. Amar HaKasuv, Ho'il Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Zos Leimar. That's how Chumash Dvar opens. Moshe Rabbeinu put in the effort to explain the Torah to the Jewish people. Now, and again, he's been doing this all throughout the 40 years. So what's changing now? The Kachar Mercham B'Sifrei. So Chazal explained the Sifrei. Sifrei is a Merish Halacha by Midbar Dvarim. Kol Sheshachach Halacha Achaz Yavu Yishne. Kol Sheshu Lefarash Yavu Yifarash. If you forgot something, you have questions, you want an explanation, you want to work an idea out with me, now is your chance. Im Sumi Piv HaShmuos V'Lam Du'a Peirushim. Over those final 36, 37 days of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, they clarified and they confirmed and they were reviewing. Yeah, Yoni, question. That's a good question. Did he have a date? I'm not sure. Did he know that he had exactly so many days left? I don't know. We leaned in last week's Sedra, in Parshas Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, your end is near. And that's what Moshe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need a, please choose a replacement leader or someone, please make sure that we have a succession plan in place. And that's, he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Akei Ruchu Sechol Basar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of spirits for all flesh. I mean, you're the one who, you appreciate the nuance and the uniqueness of every single person. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please pick the right leader for Klal Yisrael, the right next leader for Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu definitely knew Not only did he know he wasn't making Eretz Yisrael, but it seems like he knew at this point that there wasn't a lot of time left. Whether he had an exact date, that's an interesting question. But he knew that he was in the final home stretch, as it were. And he was very rational about it. And he said, Kadosh Baruch Hu put me here for a purpose, and the last legs, the last steps of those purpose need to be accomplished. I need to make sure to do the final work of making sure everyone has a chance to confirm and to work things out and ask questions. But Kasher Haya Lifnei Moso Nevi, who is immediately at this point Yoni, he says that when he was right before his passing, at that point he does apparently have a sense the end is very near. Nigash Lechsiva. Now he turns his attention to writing. Again, remember we were talking last time about Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. So you'll notice here once again the Rambam is stressing to the very end. Moshe Rabbeinu was first Ho'il Moshe Be'eras HaTorah Azo. So that was verbal. That was Baalpeh, right? Anyone has questions, come and ask me your questions. Let's talk out ideas. You have a shaila. You want to make sure you got something right. And then Nigash L'Ksiva. And then the very end, he turns his attention to writing. V'chasav Shlosha Asar Sefer Torah Gvilim Kulam. The Chumash makes it clear that he wrote a Sefer Torah, and Chazal point out that's a Sefer Torah for the Aron plus one per Shevet, a total of 13. And the Rambam stresses, Kula mi beis bereishis ad lamed Yisrael. From the babe, from the letter beis, the beginning of bereishis, until the letter lamed, the end of le'ene kol Yisrael, the last letter in the Sefer Torah. That you might know is a machlokas. In the Gemara, in Bava Basra. Bava Basra, Yudalit on Beis Tetz Vav and Aleph, where the Gemara discusses it's the sugya of the Sifri HaTanach. The Gemara discusses which Svarim belong in Nevim, which Svarim belong in Ksuvim, what's the official order, and who wrote which authorship, who wrote Koheles, and who wrote this, and who wrote that. And the Gemara has a debate, the last eight Psukim, Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, the last eight Psukim in Chumash, so who wrote them? Who wrote them? The Moshe Rabbeinu's obituary. And it says Moshe Rabbeinu died, then the Pesukim talk about Moshe's death and that Klal Yisrael mourning him and how unique Moshe Rabbeinu was. So Gemara has a debate. That sounds like it was written after Moshe Rabbeinu's death. So presumably Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write it. So Gemara said, well, okay, maybe Yehoshua wrote it. Or maybe not. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it with tears in his eyes. He was writing about something that wasn't yet true, that was going to be true. And the Rambam is a strong proponent of that view, that every single word in the Torah is already written down by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what he's stressing here. He wrote it kulam from the Beis of Bereishis all the way into the Lam Yisrael, to the very last word, to the very last letter. Nosan Sefer Chol Shevet Lelechaz Bedrachav. He gives a Sefer to each Shevet, reminds each Shevet they need to maintain fealty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. HaShlosha Asar, number 13, he gives it to the Levim. Look, and he says to him, "Lakocha Sefer HaTorah Azosi," at the very end of Chumash Devar. And then, dramatic. Alahar b'chatzos yom shiva ba'adar, kefi mashe diktaka ha'kabbalah. The middle of the day in the seventh of Adar, according to the precision that was conveyed to us by our Masorah. V'hai is a moso b'shvilein l'fi shecharsarno oso, v'hachayim b'shvilo, l'masha'ala elav. Fascinating. And he says, from our perspective, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. We no longer have him. Achayim bishvilo, but it was a new layer of life for him. Lamasha alei love. He was now living in Olam Haba, living in the Olam Hanashamas, and he was living in even closer contact with Ribono Shel Olam. The kach amar alei mashalom. Moshe Rabbeinu lo meis ala alu mashamer shemar. Moshe Rabbeinu is serving Hakadosh Baruch Hu in Shamayim. Hadibur azeh aroch maod maod vein zeh makom. He says, look. We're not going to talk about this now. This isn't the place. He does talk about this at greater length in a different Hakadama. Remember, we're learning the Hakadama LaMishnah, which sometimes called the Hakadama Tezram. It appears before Bracha. At the very beginning, appears from Mishnayos. But he has another one of his Agadic Hakadamas, the Hakadama to Perek Chelek, at the end of Masach Sanhedrin, where he talks about Ikari Amunah. And before he lists the 13 Ikari Amunah, he talks about ultimate purpose. He talks about Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, and Tchias HaMeisim, Mosem Mashiach. So we firmly believe, and that's the 13th Animam, and in Hisharus HaNefesh, and the eternality of the soul. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mechayim Meisim, that when people pass away, so those who are still in the Olam Hazeh no longer have contact with them, and the body begins to decay, but man is much more than just a body. Human beings are an incredibly unique fusion of the physical and the spiritual. We are perhaps the only creature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. We, human beings, are the only creature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that's a blend, a fusion of physical and spiritual. We have a physical body and a spiritual soul. When your bio teacher tells you that Homo sapiens is a member of the animal kingdom, the Homo sapiens is a primate, that's absolutely true. That's part of the story. It's absolutely true that your body, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates with as this radical fusion of an animal body and a spiritual soul. And we have the capacity to elevate our body to more than merely a primate, more than merely a member of the animal kingdom. So when a person passes away, his body decomposes, but his neshama does not. It was perhaps most gloriously evident with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why I said, Hadibra da'aroch ma'od mo, there's plenty to say about this ve'ein zeh makom. It says, right now I'm focused on the history of halacha, so this is an important sidebar, pointed it out, and we could talk about it more some other time. Now, then he says, Watch what happens. The kasher meis avash, let's have a pee. Why is he spending so much time focusing on the death of Moshe Rabbeinu? The final weeks and the final day, and later the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, because as I said before, it was the most fundamental shift in the history of halacha. It's only 40 years since Kabbalah Satorah. Why? Because Kasher Meisal Vashalom, what do you think? What changed that was so dramatic? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was a very important figure. There have been, throughout Jewish history, certain figures who have stood out, towering figures. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshayahu, Rabbi Akiva, and so on and so forth. But why do you think this is such a fundamental shift? What changed? What was the most basic thing that changed? What have we learned up until now that's not going to happen anymore? What do you say? Yeah, Yonatan and Yoni. Moshe not teach them directly, right? Certainly Moshe not going to teach them directly. Moshe spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So you're saying, number one, that there's never going to be as direct a connection. Now we won't be able to go back to Moshe Rabbeinu to check things anymore. And that's certainly true. And in terms of the question of transmission, fidelity of transmission, we're going to talk about that as we move on in the history of halacha. And there's more that I think Yonatan was touching on. Any other ideas? Aryeh, you're nodding. What do you want to say? What tool did we used to have? What tool did we used to have that's no longer available at all with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu? Adir? Right? Can no longer go knocking, you can no longer, so to speak, pick up the red telephone and call HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Last week's parsha, in Parsha's Pinchas, B'no Slavcha come with a shayla about Hilchas Nachalos. How does it work? Slavcha is a Bechar. He has only daughters. What's going to be with the Chelek in Eretz Yisrael? Who gets how much? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's a really good question. Let me go ask God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, came B'no Slavcha Dovros. They're making a good point. Here's the din. But that's not happening anymore. In other words, not only are we going to, it's not only a question of it's going to be hard, there's going to be more steps in the chain, there's no longer ongoing revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to continue to teach us Torah directly. Not only when we had a question, could Moshe Rabbeinu say, I'm not sure, let me go ask Hashem, but even the day-to-day. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Jewish people and says, Rabbosai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just taught me a new din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about tzitzis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just taught me about tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just taught me about shatnez. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just taught me about basas b'chalav. Right? And there was ongoing revelation. That's done. Kasher Mesal Vashalom, Moshe passes away. Who Kar Masar Yoshua Mashanitel Menapeirish? He had already given over to Moshe, to Yoshua, what had been given to him of the Perush. What Hashem had given to Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of how to interpret Chumash, the parts of Torah Shabbat that Hashem had told to Moshe, he had passed on. He had passed on to Yoshua. His bonin bo, Yoshua v'anshei doro. So Yoshua and the other Talmidei Chachamim begin to think about it deeply. It's a new verb we're seeing here. His bonin. We're going to reflect on it. We're going to count it. We're going to chew it over. Now he says, so if there's something that we had received, either Yehoshua had heard from Moshe or one of the others of Canaan heard from Moshe. Yehoshua might say, look, I never heard that. I don't remember hearing that. But some other Talmud Chacham remembers hearing this Moshe Rabbeinu, a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu, a Kabbalah Kibel. Nothing to discuss. Moshe told us X. That's the end of the story. But if you didn't hear, if no one heard anything about this from the Navi, the ultimate Navi, Yoshua is also a Navi, but the ultimate Navi is Moshe Rabbeinu. And we'll think in a moment about why that's his Moshe's title right now, the Navi. Min ha'anafim, from the branches, Hotzi hadin bo behekish. So if a new shaila came up and Moshe had never addressed this, so now what? The commentary says all of a sudden 1,001 new situations, 1,001,001 new situations. We never discussed this Moshe. We never thought to discuss it with Moshe Rabbeinu. We were living a nomadic life, an idyllic nomadic life in a utopia in the Midbar. Food was falling out of the sky every morning. All of our needs were taken care of. And now, all of a sudden, we're living a rugged life in Eretz Yisrael, and we're farming, and we're conquering, and in new situations, and people are building houses, all sorts of things going on. And I say, Yoshua, what's the din? You go over to Zaken, Rabbi, what's the din? No. Ask around, no one remembers hearing Moshe and ever address this. So now what? New cases. So the answer is, Hotzi, now, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and here's that, that dramatic shift you're talking about. The days of Moshe Rabbeinu, again, B'no Slachot show up, they say, Moshe, what's a din? He says, I don't know, I'll go ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yehoshua can't do that. There's a very famous story with someone else named Yehoshua. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Yehoshua, the contemporary, one of the Rebbeim of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua the Tanam, the contemporary Rabbi Lazar and Gamliel. The Gemara tells a story that I'm sure you've heard of the Achnai oven, Tanur Shal Achnai. There's a big machlokas HaTanaim about a particular type of oven. The Psukim tell us in Chumash and Chumash Vayikra that if you have an oven attached to the ground, usually things are attached to the ground, not Makabal Tumah. But the Chumash has an exception, is if you have an earthenware oven, a ceramic oven attached to the ground, that's considered to be a Kli, it's Makabal Tumah. Okay. So someone touches it, becomes Tamek, and make other things Tamek. The Machtanam had a machlokas, how about a particular, there's a new model of an oven, it was like cut into parts, like a collapsible oven. They're like rings, instead of one big tube, it's like rings, cut into rings that you could connect them. So machlokas Atanam is a Tamei or Tar. Big machlokas. Rabbi Lezer against the other, and they're arguing back and forth. Ultimately, all the Tanam are one side of the issue, and Rabbi Eliezer is on the other side of the issue. Gemara says, they debate, they discussed. Okay. And this was the days they still had a functioning Sanhedrin, so they had a vote. They voted, Rabbi Lezer lost. And Rabbi Lezer refused to accept the psak. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer starts, they debated the content of the issue back and forth for a long time. And they continued to debate the content of the issue. And they said, okay, we know your points, you know our points, and here's why we disagree with you. And then he says, well, in that case, I'm going to, when done with the rational arguments, he pulls out the super rational, supernatural arguments. He says, I'm so convinced I'm right. He says, if I'm right, let this nays happen. If I'm right, let that nays happen. Let the water in that river start running backwards. And let the tree move. And let the walls of the Beis Medrash start to fall or shift. And all these nisim are happening. Amar Rabbi Yeshua Raglav, Rabbi Yeshua gets up And he says, we don't. Oh, and then finally, finally, Rabbi Elazar says, let the Shamayim directly confirm that I'm right. And Bas Kol comes out, a quasi prophetic voice, and they hear a voice that says, Halacha Kibbalezer. So Gemara says, Amar Rishual Ragla. Rishual gets up on his feet and he says, I don't care. I don't care about any of this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to ignore all of this. It says in the Chumash, Lo Bashamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu told us when he was signing off, he told us that halacha is no longer in heaven. Halacha is meant to be, during the 40 years of Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael, it was Bashamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was transmitting Torah through this special degree of Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu enjoyed to Klal Yisrael. And with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the end of Torah via revelation. We reject the notion of ongoing revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us he does not plan to supersede the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's where Amar Shua Ragav Lo Bashamayim. He says, we're being tested. This is a Nisayon. Yes, it's very attractive to listen. Bas Kol says there's possibly a blessing. He says, but that would be Keneged Ratzon Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us not to do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to ignore supernatural transmission of Torah post Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why the Rambam is saying here, that's the story of Rabbi Yehoshua, the Tana. But many, 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 many centuries earlier, Yehoshua ben Nun is the first person to be operating under this new regime. He is the leader after Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the second link in the chain of Masorah. The Rambam, the introduction of Mishnah Torah, has the 40 links in the chain from Hashem teaching Moshe all the way until Ravina Ravashi at the end of the period of the Gemara. They're the ones who edited and compiled the Talmud Bavli, the end of the Amram. So the first link of the chain is Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. The second link of the chain is Moshe to Yehoshua. So Yehoshua is the first one operating under this new regime. It says, if you know the din, if you heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, Gevaldik. If not, we're not going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're supposed to figure out Lo Bashamayim. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to use what we have to work out the rest. The anafim, the branches, he says. In other words, and here's a critical point, and we'll end with this for now. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rama said before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu klalei inyanim. For every single pasuk, for every single mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given Moshe Rabbeinu sort of the basic Torah Shabbat Peh. Remember we said before he gave the example yesterday with Sukkah, and sort of the basic dinim. Basic rules of what's acceptable, and basic rules about how big it has to be, basic rules about who's chayiv and what you do, but not every last detail, not the anafim, not the branches, think of like a tree. Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the trunk. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Moshe Rabbeinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Rambam just stressed, the entire text of Torah Shebichtav. Every single word in Chumash. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu a lot of the core content of Torah Shebaal Peh, but not every last detail. He does, however, give Moshe Rabbeinu a third thing, which is the Chukim HaShlosha Asar HaNesunim Lo Mesinai, the Midrash HaTorah Drashas Behen. In other words, V'hein Shlosha Asar Midrash HaTorah Drashas Behen. And he says, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving you this Torah Shebichtav, I'm giving you this Chumash, I'm God, I'm independent, I can do whatever I want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachol. He says, I'm telling you that I wrote a text that has multiple layers of meaning embedded in every line, and I'm going to give you the tools you can use, the mining tools you can use to discover and extract those additional layers of meaning that are left embedded in the text for Talmid Chacham throughout the generations to find. That's what we call Darshanin Psukim. And that was part of the package that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu a three-part package. Torah Shebichtav, number one. Number two, some of the content of Torah Shebaal Peh. And number three, the tools, the methods with which to extract the rest of the Torah Shebaal Peh from the Chumash. So he says, some part of Torah Shebaal Peh is Bikabala, and part of it is Ayideh Medrash. Part of it is what we have received already, traditions from Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, there's no machlokas. But then you have the dinim that they were extracting, that they were discovering in the between the lines of the Chumash. So some of them were Devar Mishal Nafal Ben Machlokas. Sometimes everyone agreed, yeah, that's the most reasonable way to dash in the Pasuk, and that's clearly the conclusion. Sometimes it was unanimous. And sometimes, even going back to the days of Yehoshua Benon, there could have been a machlokas. The Rambam is already laying the groundwork for a key point that he's going to expand upon later. He does not see machlokas as primarily a result of someone forgot something. He says, the Talmud Bavli, as we were talking the other day, Talmud Bavli full of tens of thousands of machloksin. They were forgetting things left and right? So Rambam says, no. Says most machlokas is a result of two people looking and trying to figure out what the answer is, not everyone repeating what they heard. Says we're not sure what the din is, so let's look back at the chumash and let's work on the sugya. Let's try to figure out what the din should be. So says sometimes everyone comes to the same conclusion and sometimes not. One person had a certain approach, a certain logic, a certain angle of attack on the Chumash in the already received Torah Shel Peh, and comes to conclusion X, Pasul. A different Talmud Chacham had a different angle of attack, and he said, no, I think it's Kasher. I think it's Tameh, I think it's Tar. I think it's Aser, I think it's Mutter. Ki Hamidos vi Kuchios. These sort of logical midos of debate, Vikuach is debate, Yikre behekeshehen hamikra hazeh. You can have this reality where different people can come to two people, both reverent, competent Talmid Chachamim, looking at the same body of knowledge, the same Torah Shebichsav, the same already aggregated, you know, material of Torah Shel Peh, and the same principles for interpretation, Mishnah Torah Reshus, then will come to different conclusions. And how well you read you are in early modern philosophy, specifically philosophy of mathematics, but Hermann Gödel and the continuum hypothesis. So, without getting too technical, a sufficiently complex logical system will have statements that are not necessarily provably true or false. So it's not shocking. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to give us the Torah in a way that lends itself to machlokas. You have two Talmid Chachamim who are both trying their hardest, authentically, to figure out what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking, what's divine intent, and two Talmid Chachamim, both competent, and both there's a lot of reverence in Yiras Shamayim, trying their authentic best to figure out what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell us, looking at the same content, the same Chumash, the same Torah Shel Peh content, the same Yishar Torah and Reshus Ben, coming to different conclusions. And Zeh Berkov is Zeh Berkov. And so Machlokas is natural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have chosen to not have Machlokas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have chosen to tell us everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu apparently chose that there should be a Torah Shebichsav and a Torah Shel Peh, and not all the Torah Shel Peh was given to us up front. The Kadosh Baruch was interested in us being partners with him it's not just all given to us on a silver platter. But that means there's going to be machlokas. And he says, but back in the old days, kasha erezos machlokas, and there would be machlokas, it wasn't long lasting. There would be machlokas, you debate an issue for a couple of hours, a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, and ha 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 rov, you have a Sanhedrin. With Kozman, they had a working Sanhedrin, so ultimately things would be put to a vote after all the debating was done back and forth, and people considered this position, that position, this one changes mind from mutter to aser, that one changes mind from aser to mutter, and back and forth and back and forth. They discussed the sugya for however long they were discussing. When all the dust settled, Sanhedrin took a vote, and in terms of practical halach, we're debating to figure out what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in mind, what should I actually do? Halacha acharov, v'sham Hashem, acharam lahatus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Geri built into the Chumash, built into the system of halacha, rules to keep halacha practical. It's inevitable there will be machloksin, because there will be different interpretations. Just like Rashi and Abayu Tam. And a different interpretation. You're looking at a Gemara, you're looking at a Mechilta, you're looking at a Shemush Rabba, right? And you're coming to different, what's the best fit? What's the best svara the best approach to make sense of all the data. So Rashi is convinced that this is the best mahalach, despite this kasha. Van Tom is convinced that's the best mahalach, despite that kasha. Okay, the sugi we just wrapped up the other day. So that was Tanam. We're doing the same thing with Chumash and the core Tarsha Rapam. But calls mine you have a Sanhedrin, which we did up until the middle of the period. We certainly did until the end of the Bais Sheni, and to an extent into the time of the Tanam and some of the Amram as well. So calls mine you have a Sanhedrin. So Machlokas doesn't have to last forever. Certainly up until the period of Beshai Basil, there was a working Sanhedrin, and that's why there's very minimal machlokas that we hear about, because there will be a machlokas, and it will be debated, it will be discussed, and they put to a vote, and halacha l'maisa, you follow whatever the Rov HaSanhedrin paskin. Okay. Which is why the Rambam has a very famous line, we'll see tomorrow, he talks about Yehoshua and Rav Ashi. And Yehoshua is doing the same thing Rav Ashi is doing. He's no longer getting Torah through Nevuah. Now the dramatic shift, now we're figuring out what the halacha ought to be, rather than knocking on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door and asking for another revelation. We'll pick up with this Emirtz Hashem next time.